Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yeah, everybody, welcome to Spanish Aquí Presents. We got a full house today. That was Oscar yelling. We have Tony in the house, Riza, and myself, Carlos. And we are doing it. We are doing it. There it is.
Is that the full house
haven't
theme?
Had a theme song from Tony in a while. That's very vintage Tony.
Nobody missed it. Now one person said, why isn't Tony not doing the Pika intro song?
I get the DMs because everybody's so scared to ask you. They're like, hey, I was wondering why Tony doesn't look at the Pika songs. That's what I used to like dance to in my car. I would just play them over and over.
You're sweet. That was a nice try. I'm very intimidating, aren't I? No one asked me. That was nice of you, Riza, to make that lie for me.
And they came.
I appreciate it.
They came to the least intimidating member of the team to ask.
The real pushover. They went to Riza.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Carlito? You're going to ask about vaccines or something?
Oh, yeah. Have you guys talked about getting vaccinated?
No, we haven't.
I don't think so.
Save it for later because that's not the Pika that we're
That's a different Pika.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. Literally.
Anybody else have any business before we get to the Pika?
No, Oscar? Let's get into
Oscar's got a. Oscar looks like he has to say something.
Well, yes, I do. Ooh, actually, it's really stupid.
I could read
it's
it
really
in his
stupid
face.
And very short and very short. Okay. And dumb. But yesterday, last night, I watched Aliens,
the sequel. Aliens. Number two.
Yes. Number two. Alien is like a classic. It's like the most I think one of the most perfect movies on par with Jurassic Park. I think both of those are just perfect pieces of film.
You've said this.
I agree with the first part.
Oh, okay.
Alien is a perfect movie.
Oh,
but not okay. Right. But not with Jurassic Park. Not no, next to Jurassic.
Okay, that's fair. In my opinion, they're perfect.
Sure.
And so I was watching Aliens, and I loved Aliens. I mean, I don't know who saw Aliens, but for me, as a child... I saw Vasquez, she's like this tough ass, like Marine.
Yeah.
Like, she's just like the most badass character in cinematic history ever of all time. Mm-hmm. And I was just like obsessed with Vasquez. For me, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a brown person who's just like a badass and like unapologetically like queer as well.
Yeah.
I didn't know this when I was like, 5 years old watching this movie, but like growing up, watching it, I was just like so impressed with Vasquez and like truly think that like Vasquez walked so Michelle Rodriguez could fly. You know what I mean? It was like very much of that prototype. And I was just like, who is this person? Because I don't even, I don't know anything about her. And I did some like Googling and her name is Jeanette Goldberg, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we talked. This is a vintage.
And I was like,
Spanish Aggie Presents. You did mention it.
Goldstein. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeanette Goldstein. And I was like, huh? Interesting. Wait, what?
You got short circuited, my friend.
Goldstein. So I checked and I was like, wait, is she not Latinx? Like,
she was in Terminator 2. She was the mom.
She was in Terminator 2. And she's.
The sequel or as Terminator
she's,
as well?
She's a quarter Brazilian, but she's like Jewish mostly. And Moroccan. And so I felt a certain kind of way about that. I was like, interesting. I mean, she technically is Latinx, but like it's such a small percentage of her background, which is totally fine. But I was like, whoa, this is really interesting. And then I read an article on her retrospectively thinking back on this, on her role in the movie. And they asked her, they were like, would you be cast as Vasquez today? And she's like, absolutely not. And I don't think I should have been because I wasn't like a Latina actor at the time.
Yeah.
I just like looked buff and could act. And that's why I got cast.
Yeah.
And she was like, honestly, if this was cast today, I probably wouldn't get the role. Mm. And that's fine. So I was like,
or
whoa.
If she did,
I was like,
feeling words about it.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I guess so. But like, the fact that she's Brazilian doesn't discredit her for like booking Vasquez, right?
I guess on a technicality for Hollywood.
Yeah.
I guess it's not as bad as Short Circuit and the.
Oh my God. Yeah, obviously. Yeah. The 80s is like the home of problematic cinema. I think. It's just where just like a bunch of problematic stuff. But I felt so weird about that. Like, technically, like you're right, Carlos. Technically, yes, she counts and should do the role. But like, also, that wasn't a part of her background that she was embracing at the time. Yeah. So it was, I felt very weird about it.
Interesting.
Well, and I still do,
you
know?
Thank you for
sharing,
man.
Yeah. But anyway, besides that, we're not talking about that. That's not in our pika
today.
That's
interesting.
Carlos,
it's,
you have a pika
for us. It's interesting that you bring that up because I'm a piggyback of what you said because today I want to talk about a very similar topic, which is people making friends when they're adults.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Perfect segue. Oh, yeah. Honestly,
I just got whiplash.
Just a seamless transition. Yeah. Of
way better than the ones that I've done.
Hey, listen, I know somebody listening was like, yeah, that transition totally. So well.
Yeah, they'll find a way transition. To connect. They'll find a way to connect.
Well, some people
but what
make
do you
friends
mean?
With common
interests.
I mean,
interests. Like, I just realized that not everybody, like I, from personal experience, like I know I've had friends, I've had this conversation with a friend of mine and very soon after college where they were like, that's it. My friends are like the friends that I have right now. The ones that I met are going to be my friends. I'm not going to find like my friends seem very certain that there was not going to be any more like friend making happening. And at the time, now looking back, it's like we were just like getting out of college. That seems crazy. Mm-hmm. But I think for a lot of people, it feels that way. And I guess we should make the distinction that we're not talking about like making friends where you work because you are spending time where you work. But I mean, like outside of that, it does kind of make sense. If you take out, and again, we should make very specific distinctions because like, for example, if we're performers and we're actors and we have little summer camps every time we do a project, it's very likely that you might make friends that way. Mm-hmm. In that manner, but like regularly, if you have a 9-to-5, how many people make friends outside of work and outside the friends that they already have and meaningful friends as adults, not as like we have, you know, and conversely, how many people stay friends that end up not having anything in common, only that they went to school together, which I see that also. So it'd be fun to explore kind of like that idea of like, is there a cutoff time and what's the experience like, or at least for you guys or your friends? Because it's interesting.
How can I ask a question? And it's just a like quick answer. How long have you known your like oldest friend that you've been with them? Like, but like
since
your like your closest
five.
Since you were five. What about
Ubaldo,
you?
Like, but I have friends from Puerto Rico that we've been like friends since first
since
grade,
like daycare. Yeah.
Since first grade, and I was five at the time.
Okay. How about you, Oscar and Tony?
I want to hear Oscar first.
I don't know. Like, I think later than that, I mean, I don't, because I'm not from here. So, like, for me, it was, I think high school is maybe my oldest friend.
Okay.
But maybe, it doesn't have
maybe.
To be.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be here. It could be wherever you were when you were younger.
But, yeah, but still, I mean, I don't.
But if you're still friends with them, that's what I mean.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, we all had friends when we were little, but there's a lot that we're not friends with, like, still.
Yeah.
Okay, what about you, Tony?
Similar to Oscar, I'd say high school because we moved around a lot when I was a kid, and we just stopped moving when I was, like, 12 in Miami. So that's. And even those friends, those are just the people that I know I could just reach out to on Facebook now and we could have a conversation. But even like, I wonder if people who be in a similar situation as Oscar and I now, you can always reach out to someone. You could find someone in some way, but there's no way I could find people that I knew in Mexico when I was growing up.
And
there's
it was
no
harder before because you couldn't connect through like
it's
social
different.
Media.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we're always connected perpetually in theory, right?
I've been best friends with my best friend, Vicky De La Torres, since daycare. But we didn't really know, like we were little. And then like in first grade is when we kind of like, we're like, wait a minute. Like, you know, it was like
are
weird.
Are we best friends?
Yeah. And yeah, I'm like, I'm still friends with her. I literally just saw her on Sunday because she was in LA for a one day. And I was just like, we were talking about that. And it's funny that we're doing this Pika because I was just like, fuck, we've known each other like such a long time. Like, you're really my oldest, longest friend. But then I think about like what you're saying, making friends, like how do adults make friends? So you're right. Like other than work, I think like to myself, because I know a lot of people that like move to LA and I maybe like know them and or like somebody kind of, and it's like, it's hard because you want to like, you know, invite them places or like, you know, like whatever, but like, it's hard because you already have your kind of friends group. So then you feel like,
yeah,
it's like extra work. You kind of like want to babysit them when they come out with you or whatever that is for the first couple of times. I personally, I've made like, one of my closest best friends that I've made out here in LA was someone that I met through CrossFit, which ironically has the same last name as my best friend, Vicky. And that's kind of like how we connected, because we were working out one day and her name was on the board, like CDLT, just her initials, just initials. And mine was RL. And I was like, is your last name De La Torre? And she was like, yeah. And then like, that's literally just how like, we just like started chatting and like, whatever. But
that's it. Wow, that's all.
That was honestly it. Like, but then obviously like we became close friends.
That's and, called like, we are... brand recognition.
Yeah. I was like, I must like her if she has the same last name as Vicky. Right. But yeah, I'm like, I don't know. Like I think like if I'm trying to think like how I've made other friends other than working, even side hustle like stuff. And I think maybe like the gym or just like, I am the kind of person that I might go to a party and like somebody me cae muy bien and we exchange info, and for whatever reason that has happened as well. I've met someone just one night and now we're pretty cool friends. Like I wouldn't say best friends, but we're pretty good friends. But I don't know. I don't know. What do you guys, how do you guys feel you've met?
I was going to say that outside of work and outside the, what we talked about, like meeting people when you're working or you're doing projects and stuff.
Like industry stuff. Yeah.
Outside of that, Joey, honestly, you guys know Joey.
Yeah.
He's my one really, really good friend. I mean, I have a group of people that I met, but I feel like Joey and it's a group of people, but I think Joey is the first one that I met outside. It was through the Puerto Rican community in LA, but like that was in 2012, bro. We're about to like have like 10-year friendship. That's wild.
Yeah. You guys
and
are
it
very,
just
very
happened
close.
Like we were like,
shout out to Joey. Also, Joey's fucking awesome as hell. I gotta say.
Yeah. He's great.
He's awesome. Tight. He's great.
So it was cool. Like we met through the circles, but like when you meet through the circles of people, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to continue to hang out. So it just kind of like slowly formed to a thing. And then we just became like friends. Like we were like confiding in each other. We were like, he's the one person that I know that I can call and vice versa. And I know that I don't, you that's, know, so that's it.
No,
that's like my Cynthia here in LA. How about you guys?
I'm like, while you're talking about this, I'm thinking of, I want to ask Oscar this. Do you think like, besides like work relationships or like we're in industries where we're constantly potentially meeting new people, new families of people with work situations, but queer people, I wonder if like there's part of me, there's like, we're always looking for like family or like chosen family kind of friends. I never feel like the door will close for me. Like, no, I'm tapped out for friends. How do you feel, Oscar? Do you feel that has anything to do with?
It's interesting because when I first moved to LA, I was in my mid 30s when I moved here. And I didn't really know anybody. And the people that I did know from New York were sort of, it's interesting that you say that because most of my heterosexual friends that I knew in New York were in their 30s and were like building a family and had a family life, had kids and stuff. And like, understandably so, did not have time for me to sort of like rise his head, babysit around and sort of show the ropes of LA.
Mm-hmm.
So it is interesting that like the majority of my LA friends specifically are queer, maybe because they don't have that sense of like familial obligation that a lot of my cis straight friends have, cis straight friends in LA do. And that's just like, I think it is like the timing of meeting new friends as an adult is really important because there's a difference of trying to find adult friends in your 20s where you're out partying, you're socializing a lot more, you're willing to take more risks of maybs stepping out of your comfort
zone. And you're willing to put up with friends for people. I feel like friendships that are toxic and that's also like something we could talk about is like seasons. Like seasons of people that
100%. 100%. And exactly like having really coasting by having loose friendships with people in your 20s versus being in your 30s or 40s when you don't have time for that bullshit. As politely as I'm putting it. And you're looking for real meaningful connections. That's a lot harder, especially when these people that are in their 30s and 40s already have a close friend network that don't really have space or room or time for brand new people to make intensely close friendships with, you know? But I'll say, like, for me, it is like, I'm not, like, I'm very friendly 100%, but I definitely have, like, an outer circle of friends and a very selective inner circle that I'm very, very close to. And I'm, you know, not to be rude or anything, but like I am incredibly, incredibly selective of who gets to be in my inner circle because I tend to be a very private person. So like being older, I am less lenient on giving people the benefit of the doubt when I meet new friends to like welcome
that
into my
personal space
inner
for
circle.
Sure. When you
exactly
you can be friends with a lot of people, but once you get into like the closer you get inside, the harder it is to
And also it's just like you have room for two or three people in your life to be very, very close with, and like you just don't want to entertain even allowing anybody else inside. And that's like I will own up to the fact that that's very unfair of me, but I know my social limitations. I know how, for me, I get very, I'm an introvert. So like I get incredibly exhausted hanging out with people. Like that's not something that I want to spend my energy. And the older I get, the worse I am about that kind of stuff. So it's like, it is as an adult being like, oh, I want to make meaningful connections with people. That's so challenging. Yeah.
I was going to say, it's also got to be a lot tougher, like you said, about like people in their 30s that are already married, because like your energy is going to work, your energy is going to raising your family.
Yep.
And you find it a lot where they're like, hey, could you hang out with my husband? Like, he doesn't have any friends. It's like, there's just no, I feel like I've heard that so much. And people in their 30s, and not necessarily older, but like, especially when they start, you know, families around that time. So that's interesting.
But it's like, what do you do when you have a family life that, and you don't have the, I mean, let's say it, the privilege, the luxury of meeting new people.
You make friends with your kids, like friends' parents. Honestly, no, that's true. Like, that's real. Like, that's kind of what happens. I know a lot of people that they have kids and now they're friends with other people that I know that have kids. You know what I mean? And it's because, you know, you do have a lot of relatable things to talk about. You can do play dates where like they can play, you could fucking drink wine and just watch them in the backyard or whatever that is. But
so that's conditional. That almost feels like having a work friend. It ends up being making friends with people is secondary to the to the thing that that you get from being like sharing babysitting duties with like family, more for the kids than for the friends. It's like, all right, well, our kids get along, so I guess how you doing, man? How's your week?
And sometimes you gotta put up with them, even if you don't like them.
that's a good point. But also the thing that I wanna bring up too is, what are the duties of a friendship when you're an adult? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And specifically later on, like in your 20s, it's like a friend of mine is someone who I can drink and party and and have a good time with. But that changes a little bit after a while. Like, what is the purpose of a friendship, in your opinion, to you?
There has to
be. And think about your really close friends.
Really close friends, there's more than just hanging out. Obviously, there's an emotional foundation. There's an emotional safekeeping that happens with friends. And I feel like, in your 20s, you're not really looking for that. Mm-hmm. Or you're misplacing that in people that are not supposed to do that. Like, a lot of times, the people that you hang out with, you have a good time. And then you make the mistake of emotionally investing in them and that person in a way that doesn't get reciprocated, because that was never meant to be that kind of friendship. So, I see that. But definitely, like, in the sense of, like, family, you get to a point where you can be safe with that person emotionally, I mean, physically, obviously, but you know what I mean. I think there has to be some kind of like care we're taking care of each other as friends. Mm.
I would say also, I agree with those things too. I think like for my, and I'm talking about like close friends, like it's so weird because it's like BFF, like I'm like, I have so many like besties that I could say are my besties, but like my like really close friends that like I can confide in and stuff like that. Like, I think it's also someone that's not going to be a yes man, like someone that's going to like call me out on my shit, because I do have those friends that are like, yeah, right. So, oh, you're right. You're right. And then like, I'm like, but am I'm like, I don't know. And then I think about it later. And then like, I have like one or two of those friends that like will call me out on my shit. And like, it's not that they're my therapist, but like, you know, it's sometimes you need someone
they
else
know you.
To talk to. Yeah. And like, also like just that, like the people that like, I know I can call them no matter what. Like, you know, like I said, my like childhood, you know, ride or die, Vicky, like Vix, like I don't talk to her all the time. She's married and in Miami and, you know, she's busy. Her husband's busy. Like, you know, she was here for a day. I was able to see her for dinner and it was like amazing, but we don't text all day long. I can't really do that anymore. I don't have the energy nor like the time to do that with people how I was in my 20s, like when I was like, you know, young and shit like that. Like I was always texting all day long, everybody, da da da, because you also felt the pressure of like keeping up with everybody and like making sure they don't forget you when it's this event and you get invited or this person's party or whatever that is.
But is that like a Miami thing?
What,
for like, you? Was that a no, Miami think, thing or just a general thing?
I think that's
even like, I've never like, oh my God, I gotta get invited to this. like no, I don't, well, I never feel like the need to.
I think it's a young people thing. I think like I see that in my younger like friends or family, like where it's like
oh, FOMO like stuff. I see, exactly.
Where I think like, yeah, the FOMO is more real when I'm like, when I was younger. Now I'm a little bit older and like, I rather
now
have
it's my JOMO.
Yeah.
JOMO. The joy of missing out.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. We missed you, Daddy.
Oh gosh. But I think like too, like, you know, that person that you can also just like hit up when you're sad and you just need to cry and like vent or, you know, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Because they're not a therapist, but sometimes you just need that person to just listen and just whatever. And not agree nor not disagree, but just like fucking listen and be like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then go on from there.
Say like your friends from who knew you when, it helps to know someone who has known you for all these years. And they don't necessarily have to, you know, have a word of wisdom or advice. They just need to listen and they know and you get it.
I was going to say that, but also like, I feel like there's always, especially as you get older, there is such a thing as having a friend that just has the same interest as you. Like sometimes just somebody that you can talk sports with, somebody you can talk like anything, hobby.
For sure.
Yeah. I think a lot of people end up meeting each other so that they can share that because they don't have that. Like their spouse doesn't have the same love for the things that they have, or their friends don't. And I've seen that. And it's sometimes you just want somebody to be like, bro, and they're keeping up on comic books shit or sports or news or history, like that kind of like,
or like drag history, race, you know, they're like swapping race. Their like dreams, you know,
bro, did you see it? Can't believe.
But, you know, and a point to that, I do think that's very interesting because I would say one of my very closest friends in the whole wide world, I haven't spoken to since I moved to LA, on like super regular terms. Mm-hmm. And then during the pandemic, I've started, weirdly enough, like picking up gaming and playing games online. And there's like a whole crew of people that I played with online from New York, people that I loved. Like that was like my tribe in New York. And then we connected with each other via video games. And one friend in particular who listens to this podcast, you know who you are, is one of my very, very closest friends. And to game with him and to have that like dumb interaction, it just reminds me of like, oh my gosh, this person was such an integral part in my growing up and like was essentially there in all of my biggest life moments. And how weird that like we just picked up like we didn't even miss a beat. And like the connection, we are on opposite coasts and we are just like literally just connecting. And for me, like I hate talking. I don't talk that much with a lot of friends. And like my favorite thing, like if you are one of my closest friends, you know that we hang out in a room and we don't talk to each other. And that's the sign of
being
like,
alone together.
You go with me. we are perfect. We match. And I have that with like very few people. But it's so great to like, I mean, the pandemic was horrible in a trillion ways, obviously. Mm-hmm. But to have that opportunity arise again, it's like, oh, these people don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? These people are with you if they're, you know, the real ones.
Yeah.
it's just a bond that you can't unattach.
Yeah. That also makes me think of people, friendships that form from literally like PlayStation, like gaming or
hell Xbox. I made some great gaming friends. I made some great friends through podcasting. You know what I mean? Like literally listeners who will like hit me up and be like, oh, let's talk about this thing that you said on Spanish Aquí. And I'm like, cool. And then we have like a legit friendship. It's crazy, but it happens. Mm-hmm. It's like a real thing. Yeah. So
you just got to connect. Yeah. I love that. And I think like back to the pica, like how would I make friends? Let's say I moved to another city that I don't know anybody. Like, I think for Risa, I'd probably make friends wherever I work out because I know that that's one of the first things I'm going to look for, you know, wherever I move. But then, you know, I remember when I first moved out here and yeah, I had some friends or whatever, but like you kind of realize, again, you move to a new place and like everybody already has their world and their stuff, you know, so I'm kind of just like figuring it out and like, sure, you know, I didn't really even do acting stuff for the first like year and a half almost that I was here because I was just trying to like get my feet like grounded and figure out stuff. But, you know, like I looked up like meetup stuff because I was like, I don't know, like people suggested that.
That's scary. Yeah. I think I'd be scared.
What is
anxiety over meetups, like yeah, the meetup so, groups.
Exactly. And I'm very not shy, like when it comes to like, you know, you're going to a place or whatever, but I was looking at the meetups for like sports, like, oh, like there's a volleyball team or there's like a like basketball team or something like that. And I was like, OK, this is how I would do it. And but like I have another
like hobby inspired hobby.
Exactly.
Somebody tell me what it is.
It's basically like online. Like people say, hey, if you're a fan of this, we'll meet up here and let's all hang out
in the real world.
Yeah. And I think that's really cool. And I think like also like other social media has helped that, which is kind of like what Oscar said, like Facebook groups, like, you know, Twitch, like there's so many ways to like make friends.
Discord. I like Discord.
Yeah. 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 So I think it is definitely a different time now to make friends than it was 10 years ago, because I can't imagine like, you know, moving to like fucking, I don't know, like Minnesota or something and not knowing anybody and being like, oh my God.
Or listen, like, or even a different country.
Yeah, that would, yeah.
Wow.
With the language barrier.
Yeah, yeah.
It happens.
Siri, Google local gay bar.
Yeah, yeah. So shout out to
everybody. Fortunately for Tony, all you need is a set of eyeballs. You can look at it. You just look at them. You don't have to talk. You don't have to say anything.
But there's also a lot of people that moved here. They moved here in the pandemic, like right before the pandemic. And to start their career and yo, like that's wild. Like they didn't, like, I know some of those people, like we've even, you know, like, it's like, we know some of these people and it's like, damn, they like moved here from whatever. And like, yeah, they know a couple people, but then it's also like, again, like it's a pandemic. Like we couldn't really do stuff. And that's where you meet people when you go, oh, and come to the show, come to the party, come to this, you know, my friends, my stand up, whatever. I don't know. Well, I love you guys because you're my friends and my family.
Aww. Love you too, mommy.
I think the biggest thing too is like, if you're looking for a friend, the easiest thing is to like reach out, you know? And also with that being said, normalize expressing your limits of the friendship circle, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes there is like that feeling of like, I have to be friends with this person because it's my obligation to, you know, honestly, real talk, we too grown for that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we got to normalize saying no, because it's been done to me, and no hard feelings, obviously, because I understand. So don't feel pressure to be someone's friend when you're like, I've outgrown this person.
Yeah.
You know?
It's okay. Mm-hmm.
When I don't have the time to do
that.
You can
be like, real. You can put that friendship in a different place. It doesn't have to. Friendships can always move around in your radar. And it's not being mean or dismissive of the person. You just know that, you know, even in your closest. But how many people have we had that are super close and something happens and you're like, I cannot keep you in this place anymore. And
it's,
and the healthiest thing to do is, hey, I'm not going to be a mean to you, but you're no longer a part of this. I got to put you over here where we can get along and I'm safe and it's safe. And it's, you know, it doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
It's fine.
That's very well put. You know what I want to move closer to me though right now?
I have a feeling.
I think you all know, because you all know me so well, because you were like family to me.
Oh.
I want a damn cafecito break.
Oh boy.
Ooh, that's nice. Yeah. Let's take a cafecito.
Qué rico.
We'll be right back.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in LA, a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Slurp, slurp, slurp. We are back from our cafecito break. And I'm really, really excited for our guest today. I literally have become such a fangirl of her since watching her on her latest movie that just came out. She was on Moxie and fucking kills it. And also Saved by the Bell reboot. And I'm sure she's going to be in your screen for mucho, mucho más. So let's give it up for Alicia Pascua Peña, everybody.
Yes, so. Hey.
Oh my gosh, I am so excited to have you. Like I said in the intro, I literally was like, oh my god, when I was reaching out to Aaron, I was like, she's gonna think I'm just like fangirl of Alicia because you are such a star, you are so beautiful, you're so talented. I watched Moxie and every time you came on the screen I was just like so smiling. So
thank you. That means a lot, especially coming from the communities I'm a part of. So thanks for having me here. I'm excited to be here and get to know you guys.
Yeah. So how has it been treating you? You were on Saved by the Bell reboot and then Moxie happened. And I want to get
the right
into
order,
it.
Right? Was that the order of it?
Yes. In which the world saw it. That is the correct order, but ironically, yes.
Good
but
question.
Ironically, we shot Moxie before we shot Saved by the
See,
Bell.
See, I knew it.
Oh,
you had a feeling, and you were right. You were right. So yeah, everyone thinks that I shot Saved by the Bell first because it came out first, but things ended up changing with Moxie and when it was coming out. So it was ironic that it came out that way. But yeah, it's been amazing. The reaction to both has been overwhelming and super humbling. So I've just been excited to share it with the world, especially Moxie, because it was like over a year and a half ago when we filmed it. So it kind of feels surreal that it's out in the world and people are seeing it. I'm like, oh yeah, I did kind of do that really cool thing with people that I now call family and I live with. So yeah, it's been amazing.
Did it ever feel like, did you know it was going to take a while? No, you said the last minute they said that they were going to change the plans and extend it when it was going to come out. Like, did you, especially through the pandemic, were you like, can it just come out, please?
Well, what happened was the cast, we swore that we knew when it was going to come out. Like every day on set, we'd be like, it's going to be the summer or it's going to be fall because it's going to correlate to when kids go back to school. We thought that we knew when in reality, we knew nothing. We were super surprised to find out that it was going to come out this year, but also it's been a blessing of a ride. And we're also really lucky to have the amazing Amy Poehler, who is continuously sending us updates. Like she was editing the film and sending us pictures and being like, I'm so excited. And all of us would be like, how are we in a group chat right now with Amy? So none of us knew that it would come out now, but we think that it happened in a really timely fashion. It was divine, especially after like the summer that we just had and the election. So happy that it's out there now, but we had no idea. No.
Yeah. No. Can you talk to us about the audition process? Since I know this was one of your, you know, big, big roles.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I've been really grateful to be in the industry like since I was 3 years old. But for most of my life, I'm very transparent. I was auditioning and not working for a very long time and a college student and things like that. But funny enough, when I auditioned for Moxie, I had taken my study abroad. I called it my Alicia study abroad. Oh, so
yes.
Not, you know what I mean?
Certified? Is that a certified?
you know, maybe I'll indoctrinate people into the program in the future. Okay, but for now, exactly. The LLC is coming. For now, I'm the only one who's done it. And my parents and I did not have the funds to go actually study abroad. And my whole life, and I'm grateful that it's been this way, education came first. And the college that I went to, I was in the honors program and I was an RA and I had 3 jobs at one point and stuff. So all that goes to say acting has never been number one in my life, even though it's been like my greatest passion. So I prayed about it and I sat with my family and I was like, hey, what if I just take this one semester to just focus 100% on acting? And they were like, kind of outlandish, but we're here for it. And yeah, so I auditioned for Moxie 3 weeks into like my quote unquote study abroad where that's I had a job.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you didn't specify how abroad you were going to go. So there it is. You just spent the...
Yeah. You know, I was like, we didn't know that this was going to then correlate to me leaving school, but I like, it's, you know, the cute study abroad where I ended up with a job after.
That's what you do.
Yeah, during that study abroad, I filmed Moxie, and then I was like,
"It's a paid internship. It's a paid internship."
Exactly.
And then
exactly.
I got a whole curriculum set up for Alicia.
Period. It wasn't a school. Like,
yeah.
Hey, you know,
it's more of an exchange program.
Exactly. And honestly, it wasn't that different from me being back at school because I was studying political science and I was always in debates with people in class. So I was
oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, it's making sense. And then once again, funny enough, I was like, Dios, give me a job so that I don't go back to school, even though I have like such a deep passion for what I was studying. And I'm really adamant about legislation and policy reform. The last week of Moxie shooting, I booked Saved by the Bell. And then I was like, wait, I live here. Okay, cool. So then the study abroad ended. Wow. And I'm here permanently. Yeah. So it was a whirlwind of a ride, but I just feel like super, super blessed. Yeah.
I love it.
Wait, so Alicia, tell us about where you're from. Like, tell us about your upbringing. Like, what are you from LA originally? Or are you, do you even live in LA now? Like, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes. I currently live in LA, thankfully, due to my jobs. But I'm originally from the Bronx. I'm from New York, you know, a Dominican in the Bronx.
Oh!
The many of us, yes.
Hey.
A boogie down. So super, super grateful to be from the Bronx. But once again, like most things in my life, unconventionally, I lived in Dallas, Texas for 8 years because my mom moved there because she wanted to give me better opportunities educationally. And then, we moved back to New York when I was in my early teens and I went to school in Westchester. But I am originally from the Bronx and that's where I call home. That's where the majority of my family is currently, if they're not in DR, where my parents are from. But now I live in LA. Wow. So I've done a little bit of hopping around the country. So
you got to get a little bit of main cities. You got San Francisco left and then Florida at some point.
Yeah, maybe I'll end up in Chicago. Who knows? But
yeah,
you never know. You never know.
Yeah, been in some pretty polar opposite cities. Definitely a culture shock being in Dallas, but I'm thankful for my time there. I think it made me more perceptive, but taking a little black girl from the Bronx and having her accustomed to seeing everyone look like her and then being up in Dallas.
Yeah.
Was a little different. So I think my upbringing was interesting in that manner, but I'm grateful for it all because I think it's made me the, you know, perceptive person that I am now.
Wow. And you lived in Westchester after you lived in Dallas, right?
Yes. Yeah,
I went to school in Westchester.
Oh, that's my God. So where'd you go to school?
Well, I went to Purchase. That was my college. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So I know Westchester really well. That's
you
so
know
wild.
It well.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Purchase is literally less than 10 minutes away from the high school that I went to. I went to Harrison High School.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Oh, I was a Husky. Okay. So okay. Purchase is right there. I've been to Purchase. I feel like, was my graduation there? I feel like my high school, like I don't know. Like it was eons
ago. I'm sure it was.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah it was. It was. It was.
I'm so happy that Oscar is having his Tony moment with a high school and college.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. I know this never happens. This never happens.
The
this
fact that Ryza and Tony are quiet and Oscar's like, oh, high yeah. school
first,
and college.
First time for everything.
That's true. Yeah. You, yes. When I get you from Miami, we have this.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What a conversation.
Yeah,
right.
yeah so I bet lovely. You don't experience this that much with Westchester, New York, because it is never. An interesting little microcosm. But I know Curtis well.
Oh, you know.
Yes, I know. Unfortunately. Oh, you know. But yes. Curtis has a great performing arts center, which is cool. Yes. So that's a good thing. So.
And so since you brought up high school, actually, I had a question, which reminds me, in Saved by the Bell, you play the quarterback, right? On the mm-hmm. show. And it's an all boys, right? It's like all boy, and like you're the mm-hmm. only girl, I think, on right? Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah. Did you do any sports in high school, like to prepare you for this? Or were you just like, all right, let's do it?
I definitely did play sports that unfortunately everyone may not deem a sport. But I competed in cheerleading for a little bit, but I
that's
was a harsh. Cheerleader.
Sport, dude. What are you talking about?
Thank you.
Number one, both injuries.
I would
in
say one
athletics.
Of the toughest sports.
Were we just talking about that?
We were
definitely talking about
it. On the Socially Awkward podcast, I brought it up that we guessed it. Yes.
Yeah.
I remember
cheer.
Please
refer to that episode.
Yeah. I remember. because to piggyback what you're saying and let you continue, but cheerleading is the number one sport with the most injuries, and people like always make fun of it. And I'm not going to lie, I was very much a jock. And like when I was like in like elementary, it'd be like, oh my God, cheerleaders don't do what I could do.
They can't
do. But as I got older, I was like, damn, these girls can flip and shit. I can't do that. Like, go do that. Like,
exactly. No, that's hard. So ignorantly, a lot of people don't associate cheerleading or like dance with being very athletic. But man, my injuries say different. One, mm-hmm. Because my whole job, like as a base and back spot, was to throw people in the air. So I was stepped on and everything in between.
You were a base. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Well, girl, you had that upper body too and that lower body. Mírala.
Yeah. And we were conditioning and it came with dance, but also just like stunting. Like, very aggressive stunting. So in high school, my sports were dance. I was on the dance team and on the cheer team, which is something that wasn't exactly allowed, but I kind of had to petition for my administration to let me do it. Did I look a hot mess? Absolutely. I'll tell you why. Because I was at pep rallies, like doing my dance team routine with my cheerleading uniform skirt on because I didn't have time to change. So I looked crazy, but I was pursuing both of my desires.
Listen, that's
and
a
passions.
Boss. That's a boss move right there.
Yeah, girl, like, for sure. Like,
That's called multifaceted.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Thank you. I said, will I be embarrassing myself? See. But will I be doing everything I want? Yes.
Absolutely. So I did, and that's what you're going to remember.
Exactly.
So basically, if you could throw a girl around, I'm pretty sure you could throw a football. Is basically the answer.
Exactly. I'm like, hey, this is kind of a little bit lighter and smaller. But no, it's been really interesting exploring the physicality aspect of the character. I personally loved it because not only does it go against social norms, and I think it's really empowering for women to see us in male-dominated fields. Mm-hmm. But then I, just as Alicia, had so much fun putting the pads on, and it was crazy. And a lot of funny moments that came with that, being like the only woman on a mass football field of men. But it was so much fun. I loved it. And yeah, I took cheer and musical theater and dance background and tried to make that.
Musical theater, you say?
Oh, here we go, Tony. Here we go. Tony finally gets... Tony, jump in.
I want to see your resume. What did you do? What musicals did you do?
Oh, my goodness. So high school, yes, I was a huge musical theater geek, which most of my friends didn't understand, but I adored it. I felt so seen and celebrated in those spaces. But musicals that I did in high school would have to be like Addams Family, Chorus Line, Guys and Dolls. I also did the plays every year because I'm extra. And like one of my favorite plays.
And you were wearing
the
clothes from the musical, which was hard.
Yes. But, again, multifaceted.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I did.
You know, okay. Guys, I'm going to fully embarrass myself and really spill tea. There's still pictures of my high school theater performances on my Instagram.
Oh.
And it's atrocious. I'm like in long legs.
Oh, you're gonna have to send us one for the post of the episode.
Yes, for sure.
You're gonna have to send me one.
They're really rough, and I'm like, I really went into public looking like this. but I loved it. And I love the plays that I did, like Metamorphosis and things like that. I grew up as an actress and as a woman in those spaces.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I'm just thinking back on the musical theater pictures that were off, but yes.
You said earlier you started performing when you were 3 years old. Mm-hmm. What was that experience? Was that in New York?
Yes. So I am thankful to have a mother that just supports me in everything that I do. And long story short, one of my aunts like saw me just being this very eccentric kid and was like, you should do something with that energy. Mm-hmm. And she likes pictures and stuff. So do something with that. And mom was like, okay. Like she likes pictures and stuff. And in very Latina fashion, she loved to have me dolled up and stuff. Mm-hmm. So she sent pictures to modeling agencies and like mm-hmm. put me in etiquette classes and all that good stuff. And mm-hmm. I started modeling professionally. And then from there, I started doing commercials and stuff. And then I really started to cultivate like my passions and acting and things like that. And in Texas, I think my first job where I felt really empowered as an actress was this play at the Hispanic Heritage Center in the middle of Dallas, this small little place. And it was called Crystal City 1969. And essentially the play was about the oppression that the Mexican community has faced in Texas and not being able to speak Spanish in class. So I was very blessed to be in certain spaces like that. But yeah, I've been in the industry for a minute and I'm professionally acting like first agent, like at 9. And yeah, first is history.
Well, ties in with your, I gotta say, Alicia, like the career that you have so far is so politically charged because the roles that you're taking on is surrounded by like this positive empowerment of females and also like Latinx, black women, like really taking charge and really redefining what grassroots like political activism is. Like you really are an inspiration to so many people, not just of your generation, but like just everyone. Your existence and I mean, just you and Moxie was like, fucking, I'm going to cry. Fucking incredible. Number one, you Saved by the Bell, like broke so many, you know, doors, you know, what, how can you, is that like where you want your career to be taken down in this, like politically just like, I mean, I think your existence as an actor in this space is a political statement, but like, can you speak on the roles that you would like to take in the future? What roles you're interested in terms of like political activism?
Yeah. Thank you. That was so kindly said. I really appreciate that. But yeah, for me, all the work that I do is intertwined with my activism and the conversations that I want to be having as a young woman, as a woman from an immigrant household, from a lower socioeconomic status community, as a Black Latina woman, a part of the Latina community. And as you guys already know, for so long, so many marginalized and disenfranchised voices have been kept out. You know, something that I think really rings true for me as an activist and someone striving to always learn and grow is the fact that we're fed this falsehood that there are people who are voiceless, and that's not true. Everyone has a voice. Mm-hmm. Simply communities and certain platforms haven't been listening. Mm-hmm. So in all the work that I do, I want to be empowering the communities that I'm a part of, shedding light on all marginalized and disenfranchised communities, even if I'm not a part of them and I'm simply an ally to. And also forcing people to, you know, encounter social reckonings and learn certain truths about the human condition and specifically about the Black Latina human condition and intersectionality and diversity and inclusion and what that means when we're sincerely doing it. So it's, I think, my purpose. I think it's really important that we do acknowledge that it isn't the job of all minorities to do the work for you and educate you. But I think it's what I've been called to. And it's a part of like my purpose in the Lord is to be a light and to always grow and be positive representation. And I think a part of the work that I do is to not only tell stories of our struggle and our adversity, but of joy. You know, I say it all the time, joy is a part of resistance. So I want to be a part of all of these multidimensional stories and humanize these characters in a way that I haven't had the privilege of seeing, especially, you know, as a woman who still does so much, press where I'm met with people who treat me as if I'm an anomaly and in a commodity, you know, because I am black and I speak Spanish and the culture that is mine. So, yes.
Wow, I just got oh, my God. How are you perfect? I mean, that was like, But it really does speak to this idea of like, listen, you're just existing in this universe, living your truth and really standing up for the values that you believe, you know, and you're not, it's not like you're like, you're just existing in this space and teaching, changing people's minds by just being you. You know what I mean? And like doing the roles that you're doing and executing them flawlessly. But ultimately, you said it yourself, it's just like loving yourself, enjoying that joy, because self-joy, self-love is a revolutionary act. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And for people to see you live your joy and exist as an Afro-Latina person that exists in this space, as a woman living in this space and thriving in this space, that's the other thing too. That's a revolution. That's revolutionary.
Hell yeah.
So my hat's off to you. You really are changing the landscape, Alicia. Like you, yeah, you're like, you're it. I'm obsessed with you. The end period.
This is the Alicia Stan podcast.
Honestly though, it needs to be said.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My gosh.
And so, okay, I saw in another article or interview that you did, you mentioned how you did improv in the scene, one of the scenes in Moxie when you dance bachata. We obviously, we come from UCB, Upright Citizens Brigade Improv, which is where Amy Poehler started. Yeah. She's one of the UCB four that started the school. and so I loved hearing about that story. Did you do any other improv in the movie? I know you mentioned the dancing bachata part, which watching that does, now that you say it, that feels like you guys definitely were feeding off each other for sure. Because there's sometimes when I watch a movie and I'm like, I wonder if that was improv, because it felt like it was improv. And, like, I do improv. Like, I think that was improv. So I was wondering if there were other moments in the movie that you had done it.
Yeah, great question. Most people don't know, but that was actually my first day on set. Like that bachata scene where I was doing improv for like over 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And Amy literally just came up to me and was like, you do what you do. Have fun. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's a part of like these revolutionary moments where we're given those spaces to really be ourselves and be free. And she's like, you are this character, so you do that. And internally, I was like, because it was literally my first day on set. I don't know anybody's names. Like, I'm over here just like this quirky, you know, crazy girl who's happy to be here. But yeah, so that moment was improv, and she just had me go. Like, putting on the pirate hat, all of that is improv. Like me talking about the water bottle being like, that's for like a white mom in a neighborhood. That was improv. I was like, people gonna come for me, but I don't care.
Oh, that was real. That
her improv is like in the locker. That was like, that's real. We know who be carrying those hydro flasks. But other moments that are improv is like speaking Spanish at the end of the locker room. When I talk about machismo and like estamos harto or halta, I say at the end of the film, all of that is improv. Once again, another ay Dios mío moment. She came up to me and she goes, hey, do you mind just doing the lines that we gave you, but just in Spanish, say whatever the heck you want. And I said, okay. And I only did that take once. And that's what they use in the film, of me speaking Spanish in front of like hundreds of people. It's at the very end of the film. There are a bunch of moments. So I feel really lucky as an actress, like even like ridiculous lines where I'm like, I'm going to get you this money that's in the movie. I just said it after the scene was done.
Locked in.
And they kept it in. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. No, well, that now we know that when the world opens up, you're going to have to come and do our live show, do some improv with us, Alicia.
Please.
That scares me, but I'm in. I will come and watch a show before I join one.
Okay.
If you need a warm up, watch, but you're totally gonna have a lot of fun.
It will be so fun. But before we go, we do have a couple fan questions. We posted and we got a bunch of questions for you. We each have one, so I'll ask mine first. Of course, it's about food. This is from one of our other Dominican podcaster that wrote, what is her favorite Dominican dessert?
Ooh.
What a good question. Never been asked it.
Watch yourself be very careful.
I know, low key scared. Watch me like have my abuela call because my mom shows her everything and be like,
she's like, no, dijiste lo que yo te va, yo te, lo que
yeah,
yo te hago.
Pero I can see her doing that. I'm gonna go with the classic, also because my abuela makes it marvelously. Mm-hmm. Flan. Also, flan. The dulce de leche, ooh, which you could just buy from
Oscar
the bodega.
Love flan. There it is.
We love flan. Yes! Yeah.
Oh gosh. Love look right here. You yeah. and I. Mm-hmm. You and I.
Mm-hmm. We job. Get it. We get each other. Yeah. Flan is just like the go to.
First Westchester, now flan? What is oh. this?
We actually met prior and talked yeah, this stuff yeah, out. Okay. And there's you guys it. Not being right, in yeah. it. That's yeah. yeah.
Fine, right. fine. I'm not like jealous or anything.
Cool. Listen, we'll get out of the way. Yeah. Bonding very hardly.
Yeah. And then we have some other fan questions for you. So, boys.
I have a fan question from somebody who wants to know if you have any embarrassing audition stories.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
Yes, I do. Yes.
she just turned that into
was,
she,
that was so real.
she's like, oh.
No, I'm like, if you're an artist and an actor and say that you don't, you're lying. So yeah. I don't know, man. I think that there's so many to count. but honestly, I'm gonna go with the fact that I have sent in self-tapes. Mm-hmm. Done in the middle of a college dorm at 3 a.m. Ooh. And I can only imagine what the cast director is sitting there thinking. Because I then had the privilege of sitting in a casting office and I interned for months for free. And I saw certain tapes come in and I was like, interesting. But then I was like, I've sent in worse. So self-tapes. There are definitely moments like that being on the subway in New York, me looking super, super crazy and sweaty. But yeah, no, I just think of
I thought you did an audition in the subway.
Oh. Oh honestly, God. Wouldn't put it past
please.
Me. I was like, in between jobs, you do what you got to do in between jobs. Okay, I was like, I got to get to the next one.
Next stop.
I've had my young nieces or my boyfriend's niece that's like 12 help me with a self-tape because I'm like, nobody else would jump on and help me. And it's fine. I'm like doing a really hot, sexy scene and it's like, would you like to? The boy. Oh I'm like, ooh, it's fine. We're okay.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Yeah, I have some pretty horrifying self-tape, so I have to go with that. It's just like, yeah, and then getting like friends in college, I'll be like, I'll give you pizza if you self-tape with me. And they're like, what's a self-tape? Yeah. Like, what?
That
and then I'm sitting here
system.
Doing...
Yeah.
Yeah, dang like doing a horror
what
movie.
Are you doing? Arts and crafts? What the hell?
Why can't see, you just, my favorite is, why can't you just read both the lines? And I'm like, what?
I know, it's, yeah, I've had some rough moments. And it's funny that you say that because when I was an RA and I lived in a house of people I did not know, I would just tell them, I'm doing a project for class.
I see.
And they would be like,
it's so much easier to say it's a student project.
Yeah.
I was like, it's a project for one of my classes.
Yeah.
It's for my communications class.
You're not in that class. You're not in that class.
Sociology? I don't know.
Tony, do you have a fan question?
I do have a fan question. Okay, it's from me. What would your dream role in a musical be?
Ooh. Easy. Well, actually, not easy. I lied. Either In the Heights.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
In the Heights.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Any role in the Heights.
Okay.
West Side Story. Come on. Rita's role. Okay. And
okay. Yeah.
Hamilton. Duh.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. But specific role in West Side Story and
so anything Lin Manuel has touched.
Oh yeah. Yeah, except for West Side Story. But so I
no, he did. He helped rewrite stuff for it. He had a run at West Side Story. Do you remember? It was a long time ago. In New York.
No, this is so true. So if you didn't know before, I have made it evident I'm a Lin Manuel Miranda stan. So anything that he has touched. But specific role would have to be Angelica Schuyler in Hamilton.
Yeah.
Dream musical.
Okay. Theme. Oh okay. My God.
Love that one.
Heck yeah.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Carlitos.
I had a question. For somebody, but I feel like you kind of already answered it, and it was your Spanish. The fact was, did they let you have any input on the Spanish your character got to say on Moxie? And that's a hard yes.
Hard yes, yeah. Yeah. It's funny.
I can imagine they Amy Poehler just like giving you, can you say this word in Spanish?
Well, funny enough, like no one knew what the hell I was saying on set. And I was questioning. I was like, what if I'm just like,
yeah,
hablando like pure mierda right now, and they have no yes. idea, and they're just
they're like, editing. Yes, they're yes. like, oh, me gusta. Oh, me gusta muy bien. She's like, tú, tú tienes peste, tú tienes peste.
I know,
like, just pointing. At people.
They're just they're holding up their phones on Google and, Translate, yeah.
And they're just like, especially me, like with Español Macao, like because I am yeah. Dominican, like, and yeah. it just, I would think about that while I was on set. I was like, wow, the amount of trust and like privilege that is, because they would just be that behind the screens, like. Yeah. Not one person speaking Spanish, like on set, just like, wow.
That's amazing.
Oh my God.
So, yes. I was able to have a lot of freedom with Spanish and Moxie, thankfully.
Right. Hell yeah. Well, it sounds like you had a really beautiful experience in both Moxie and Saved by the Bell. And we are so, obviously, we're all huge fans of you. We're so excited to continue seeing you and your glow up. Just fucking, you know, get even brighter and brighter. And also, like, hell yeah, shout out, like what Oscar said, like for like repping the Afro Latinas, because everything you said is so true. And we think it's so important to have, you know, people like you on the screen so that all the other little girls and little boys that look like you or non-binary, you know, Afro Latinxers out there, that at least they like see you and they're like, oh, hell yeah, that I get that. Like, that's me. So shout out to that. Before we go, we want to make sure that you plug anything that might be coming out that we don't know about. Also, your handles, how people can follow you so that they can just, you know, be fall in love like all of us.
Thank you so much. I've had so much fun. So just thank you again for having me. But to plug, I first want to plug certain things going on in our country. So if people should be reading the bills in Georgia, they're currently voting on certain bills that would suppress people of color from voting in Georgia and also in Arkansas and Alabama, if I'm not mistaken. There are currently bills trying to be passed to keep trans youth from medical resources. And that's awful. So I think that's most important to quote unquote plug is read what's going on in our country and stay educated and keep on doing the work. I think that's just imperative of all of us to be collective and also keep protecting the people around us, specifically the Asian community right now. So, yeah, I think that's the most important thing I want to plug. But then also, yeah, I guess I do have some work things. I'm blessed to be able to film season 2 of Saved by the Bell. Awesome. It should be coming out before the end of this year. So
congrats.
Thank you. Thank you. And working on an indie. So, yeah. People hopefully will see my face, but I think more important than all of that is what's going on in our country right now. So keep loving each other and keep protecting each other. So that's my plug.
I love that.
Like, if I wasn't already obsessed with you before, like, now it's just like,
you're just real. Like, Oscar's sold. I don't know what you're doing, Alicia, but Oscar's already sold on you.
Just like a politically minded, cool person. Like, what? Yeah. What?
Thank you. Where can people follow you?
Yeah. Like, if they just want to know, just want to hang out, like.
Just want to become my friend.
Ask you questions every week, every day.
You know, just pull up. My handle is Alicia del Sol. Just my first and middle name.
Dale, we'll Alicia tag you Sol. For sure. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And everybody can follow us at Spanish Aquí Presents on IG or Spanish Aquí on Twitter. And you can follow me at Raisa Alicia on Instagram and the Twitter.
And you can follow me on, of course, it's Carlos on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Ozzymo, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O, on Instagram and Twitter.
You can find me at onesingularsensation.com. No, I'm at the Tony Rodrigue Instagram and Twitter.
You didn't even add it this time.
What yeah.
What? I didn't
even
add it?
You didn't even add it. You just gave up on it.
Look.
Alicia was like, wait, what?
Yeah, she's like, oh, like, damn. She's like looking you up. Like,
I was here for it. I was like.
No. I do a bit every show where I make up a handle. But that was a Chorus Line
reference.
It was
good. I was convinced.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I know so much.
Check out Spanish Aquí Presents on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pandora, the SiriusXM app, or wherever you listen. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts because it helps more people find out about the show. Alicia, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dale.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.